Hey everyone, welcome to this week's episode of The Invested Entrepreneur. It's Freedom Friday. Today we're going to do a deep dive into making your first $100,000. The reason for this is we see everyone talking about making their first million, but getting to that first 100K is often the hardest. And then from there, you're just really pouring gas in the fire. So this is going to be a Freedom Friday episode. If you're looking for more mortgage content, those are coming out on our Mortgage Mondays. So let's get into it.
Yeah. And just a quick side note too, although the title of this is to make your first 100K, yes, that is focused towards you if you are looking for your first 100K in your business. But a lot of concepts we are talking about here applies even if you're at that 100K mark, if you're going to 200K, 300K, a lot of this, we remind ourselves in our business to scale even further as well. So if you're sitting there thinking, well, I'm already at 100K, this episode will apply to you as well.
100%. So first things first, you need to take that hard look at yourself. It's the look in the mirror. It's not from a place of judgment, but figure out exactly where you're at. So write down every asset you have, write down every liability you have, write down the things you spend your money on month to month. Write down how much income you're earning. And don't judge yourself here. Just lay it all out on a piece of paper, on a whiteboard, whatever you're using, a notes app, and just get it all written down.
Yeah, and this is from a personal side of things as well. Before you're diving into the business, whether you've started a business or not, we're taking it slow here from the start where we're assuming you haven't picked that business and you haven't started seeing success with it. Look at yourself from a personal perspective, what your goals are in the future as well. I know when I first started in the mortgage business, I had a goal specifically in mind for 100K, which in our terms was 10 million of funded volume. That usually equates to 100K in revenue. So that was my goal right off the bat. And I defined that right away. And then from there, it makes it easier to really put into place steps and plans on how to get there. So that's what I did personally from a goal perspective. Did you have anything you did from a goal perspective, or was more so like, hey, I'm going to write down everything, be honest with myself with the things that I'm doing right and wrong?
Yeah. So I wrote everything out. So I had that kind of picture of who I was at that point. And then I picked where I wanted to go. And then I just kind of reverse engineered what does the person who is there, what steps would they take? And some of those thoughts I had were accurate. Other ones were just kind of assumptions that were proved wrong later. But at least it gives you a destination in which to point the ship.
Yeah. And the point of it is to really just get your thoughts out and put it on pen to paper.
Exactly. Once you have that, on the personal side of things, you want to get really lean. So if you're going out for drinks two nights a week, you're ordering takeout all the time, whatever it might be, cut some of that stuff back, get as lean as you can on the financial side. And then that surplus is going to be what you're pouring into your investments, into your business, into growth. You really want to reinvest into the sides of yourself that are going to grow towards becoming the kind of person that can earn the 100,000 or the kind of person who has a business that's worth 100,000.
Yeah. And I know we just had an episode with Angie Ross on the other week about the anti-budget, and this kind of goes against that. And for a reason, like I think there is a time and place to actually focus on your budget. And this is the time when you're about to enter a new business venture, a new career path for yourself. You need to really get lean on your personal expenses, cut out the fat, and just really be prepared for it. Save some money up front if you can, and have a safety net as well. If it's a line of credit or family member can bail you out, worst case scenario, it's a lot easier to do it that way versus going to the bank for a business loan. That's for sure.
Exactly. And once you have this kind of vision of yourself, you've trimmed some of the fat, you're in a position that's ready to work and to start growing that business, start growing those efforts. But it's really important that you pour your energy and effort into the right vertical. And that's number three, is picking the right vertical. And I'll give you a perfect example of this. I had saved about $60,000 prior to starting my farm, and I reinvested every cent of the farm back into growing it. It was like over $100,000, and it was the wrong vertical. It was not moving the needle for me. As soon as I recognized that, burned the boats and went all in on my mortgage business, I got to 100K quite quickly. And then from there, in a year and a half, I've been able to more than 4X that just by following these principles.
Yeah. And this one's a tough one because you're not going to really know if it's the right vertical until you kind of dive in. And with that being said, though, there are steps you can take before diving in to make sure that it is a profitable business. I'm not saying restaurants aren't a profitable business, but usually the margins are tighter versus something like real estate or the mortgage industry, something in tech, like a tech startup. Like you're going to have probably an easier time because like higher ticket. Like you get paid more, quite simply, on transactions. So I think picking the right vertical is key. Do your research upfront and ahead of time. I know personally for me, when I decided I wanted to go into entrepreneurship and start my own business as a firefighter, and at that point, I knew that I wanted to start the business on the side because I had time to do it. And I did some research up front. I was like, hey, the mortgage business sounds cool. It's real estate. It's something I enjoy doing. And I know how much they get paid, and they get paid well for what they do. So I went ahead and I went into it just from doing my research up front. And I just got lucky the first time. But if you don't get lucky the first time, don't worry about it. And don't stop early as well if it's not working. It's easier said than done. Like the hardest part with entrepreneurship is you don't know when you're going to really hit that breaking point to really go forward with your business and start making money. So that is the toughest thing there. But like I said, do that research up front and you'll have an easier time.
Exactly. And don't be afraid though, to pull the plug on something. Don't have a sunk cost fallacy. We talked about this before too. If you've poured a ton of time into something and it's not working, sometimes the best thing is to let it go and that next opportunity will come up and then you can just go all in guns blazing at that. So number four, let's assume you've got the right vertical. You know something's working. It's time to build a bigger fire. So think about everything as being a log you're throwing on that fire. Improve your sales, improve your marketing, improve your communication, improve your social media, all these pieces. That's going to build a bigger fire, and that's where you really need to focus. So while you're staying lean on the personal side, those resources you have, you want to be putting in there.
So what's an example that you did, like day one of getting in the mortgage industry? How did you figure out where you're going to get those sales from? And what did you really do to get there?
Yeah, so I figured out that realtors were going to be my best referral partner. And kind of within our brokerage, a lot of people were doing this realtor outreach at the same time. And I noticed people were really celebrating, like if I had three realtor meetings a week, and that would be considered a win. And I just said, okay, well, what if I just did three realtor meetings a day? Obviously, that's going to shorten the time horizon there. And I went all in on that. So I built a better presentation. I did better communication with them. Anything I could do that kind of gave me that slight edge over those other people in the brokerage, I poured all my energy and focus there.
Yeah. And to clarify, realtors are your main source of income because they have clients to refer over to you. And I did the same thing too. I focused on realtors too. And I just wanted to 10x the output that I was doing to get more meetings, because I knew the more meetings I'd have, the more connections I'd make, the more leads would come in that way. So your main strategy was diving in on one source of leads, and then you just went all in on it. I want to say I did the same, but I didn't. And I'm going to touch on that in the next topic. Yeah. And before we go on to the next topic too, like let's touch a bit on what we did to get those leads, because I think we can generalize this for everyone listening. Doesn't matter what industry you're in. Let's go through some of these tips because it will apply to your business as well. So in my eyes, getting leads is as simple, not as simple, but if you break it down in its simplest form, it's just having conversations. The more conversations you're having with people, the more leads you're going to generate. So what would be the first thing you would do going back to day one, whether you did it or not? What are some of the things that you've learned now that you would do back on day one to get those leads coming in?
Yeah, so 100% right. A lot of people get turned off by the idea of leads, thinking that that's incoming to them. Really, it's conversations outgoing. The easiest way to get that going is to start with someone who's warm. So say you reach out to everyone on your contact list. Hey, who's a realtor you used in the past or you would use if you were to buy or sell today? They're going to respond, hopefully. You then reach out and say, hey, Tom recommended you and says you're awesome. I'm in the mortgage industry and I'm just looking to grow my network and share a bit of value adds here. Can we jump on a quick coffee call, meeting, whatever your next step is? And you have that warm introduction there. Once you have that base, I would then say to take that and go to that person and say, who's one other realtor that you like working with? Or who covers your book of business when you're on vacation? And you're getting that triangle of trust now from someone within the industry. And then that kind of compounds from there.
Yeah, I would do the same thing. And how I would get there is build up that list of people that are in my phone. So all of my contacts in there, anyone on social media that are either following me or I'm friends with, like on Facebook, Instagram, whatever platform you're on, like just make a list, print them all out, and then just start from A to Z and go down the list and do X amount per day. And that's what I would do. I would start at 10 a day and then scale up from there and then just keep increasing it.
Exactly. And you could even do things if you're like, I don't have a lot of friends. I don't have all these people to reach out to. And you know, like maybe you're new to an area and you only have four buddies, or not even four buddies. Does anyone have four buddies anymore? Then it's a little bit trickier. So then you have to figure out what's another network you can tap into. So I'll give you an example. It's like join a Facebook group for dads or moms or dads, whatever, and say, hey, who would you use? Ask the same question, but just in a different group. The leads are going to be a little more lukewarm at that point, but it does give that introduction that you can have that conversation starter from.
Yeah. And you're still in that warm category for leads too. So it's all about making that triangle of trust by doing that method and mentioning the person that has mentioned that other person. And the other vertical you can go is cold by doing like paid ads, which I wouldn't recommend at this point because you're not even at 100K. Like, where's the funds coming from to pay for those ads? So I don't even want to talk about that. And that's not even something that we do. And I don't think we ever will. Maybe as time goes on, we'll think about it, but we don't need to because we have mastered the art of warm outreach and partners that feed us leads in our business. So I wouldn't even touch cold leads at that point. Is there any other way that you would do to start your business and get those leads coming in?
Once you have your first couple of leads coming in, you can then ask that person, is there anyone else in your network that you think might be, for our case, buying a home, needing a new mortgage, coming up for renewal? You can start to do some asks that way and just kind of expand from there. Really think about it from like an onion from the inside going out. You're adding layer and layer upon it. The bigger onion you can grow, the bigger it's going to be worth.
Exactly. All right. Number five, pour gas on the fire. So what we mean by this is you got to reinvest in your business and really just don't get tempted to improve your lifestyle. So I know you have a personal story with this, Brandon.
Yeah. So last year around this time, I was sitting with like over 100,000+ in my corporation account. I had done really well on sales and I had topped up all my like RSP, TFSA, all the different accounts investing were topped up. I still had that nut of cash there. And I was like, part of me wants to treat myself. And I almost went out and bought a new vehicle because I didn't have a car at the time. So I was looking at like a new Toyota Tacoma and I was like, this is going to be sick. But instead, I realized that's not really in line with my principles and where I want to go to get that 100,000 to 500,000 to a million and so on and so forth. So what I did instead is I bought my friend's used 2011 Volkswagen Jetta for $1,500, cost me HST, another $1,500. So $3,000 all in. And then I took that nut of cash and I bought a cash flow generating rental property. And now I just rinse and repeat doing that.
Sweet, man. Yeah, that's key. And if you were to have bought that expensive truck or whatever else you wanted, like that's probably one of the worst investments you can make, especially at that stage from zero to 100 and just beyond. Definitely don't buy that fancy car, man. We see that all the time. That's why I'm laughing. We see that all the time with not even just business owners, but everyday people just financing like ridiculous cars.
Yeah. And like this was not going to be financed. It was buying cash, but it's also a mindset of like hedonic adaptation, where if you upgrade your life, every little bit of income generation you get, you're not actually saving more and you're not growing your wealth generating net that way. You're just improving your quality of life. So then it requires to keep earning at that capacity and keep adding more years and time to it, which sure, we're not advocates for retiring early necessarily, but we are advocates for having the financial freedom to choose the type of work that fulfills you.
Yeah. And that's what this podcast is all about, especially on the Fridays, is financial independence. And to get there, a lot of the times it's all about having that cash that's being reinvested to really get you to that FI number. So why go out and buy all of these luxury things right off the bat? Unless you have the ability to do it. If you have a sustainable business that's bringing in multiple six figures into the millions, then of course, like go treat yourself. But at this point in the stage, you shouldn't be doing that. I know that I'm doing like a hard set rule there, but I'm pretty biased on that. From a business perspective, I think this can go both ways. And I'm a big fan of reinvesting money in my business. But I also do know that there is a time and place to do it. And there's also specific activities that you should be investing in versus not. So I'll give you a personal example of me. When I was starting in the mortgage business, before I went hard on building relationships and partners, I thought YouTube was the way to go. And it's kind of ironic now because this is YouTube. We're posting this on YouTube and we're building a YouTube channel. But that's because we have the money to allocate towards a YouTube channel. When I first started, I did not. And for viewers and listeners, like starting a YouTube channel can be absolutely free. But if you want to do it proper, it costs money to do it. And I was wasting a lot of money doing it. And I had to stop after 6 months because I ran out of money. And I was like, crap, I can't keep doing this anymore, even though I'm having fun with it. It's going well. It's not bringing in the leads I need to right now. So I think picking the right vertical and the right strategy to pour your money back into your business is super key.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? Hindsight's 20/20 on that, because once in a while your old videos does pop off. So it wasn't time wasted. It made you better at your job. And in recording those videos, you got a lot more knowledgeable on certain topics, but it wasn't the right allocation. Whereas now we have investments that we make for our business that we find we get outsized returns from what it costs us. You had an example of a coaching thing you just did recently. And why don't you share a little bit about that? Because I think it's had a big impact on you.
Yeah. So I'm in a coaching course or coaching program for short form content. So not long form. So it's all about Instagram specifically. And it's been doing really well for me. I'm growing my following base there, building up my social presence, establishing our brand. And I've had a lot of carryovers to our business that I can share with Brandon. So it was definitely worth my investment. And even back to YouTube too, it wasn't a complete waste of money, like you said, because I learned how to speak on video, communicate better. And like you said, some of those videos are still popping off, which is crazy to me, like 2 or 3 years ago when I first did them. I just imagine if I didn't put that money there and I just focused on the other way of building leads in, I would have had more money faster and I would have saved money from that YouTube. But I mean, like you said, hindsight 2020, you don't really know until you try.
Exactly. So to bring this all together, the last point is to just let time do its work. And that's the power of compounding. So your investments are going to compound year after year. If you have things like investment properties, you're going to have the appreciation of the property, hopefully, and then also the principal pay down of the loan itself. These things take a little bit of time to work. What you want to focus on is also compounding yourself. So we talked a lot about reinvesting in yourself, but make sure yourself and your growth are growing year after year. So you're becoming that version of yourself that can earn $100,000, that can earn $500,000. And ultimately, the goal is to become millionaires plus. And that's only going to happen by putting in the time, the effort, and then just letting things wait and being continuous in the effort.
Yeah, because if you're reinvesting in your business to not only like the assets on the outside of the business, it's just going to compound. Like for me, I know when I made my first hire in my business, yes, it was a hit right away and it was a cost that I had to make. But in doing so, it freed up more time for me to pour more gas on the fire. And I was able to do that because I had more time to do it, which then brings in more leads and more money for the business. So it really is the power of compounding there. And with every business comes risk. So I do want you to know that, the listener and viewer of this, like not everything is going to go according to plan. But I think as long as you follow these steps here and you really focus on them, then you will see success and you will get to that first 100K a lot faster.
Exactly. And if you're listening and you've already made that first 100K, what are a few things we miss? Please share it in the comments. Or if you're listening on Spotify or a podcast platform, send us a DM on Instagram, because we always like to hear feedback on what other people have done.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how we can share that with others. So have a great week, and we will see you on Monday for Mortgage Monday.
Cheers.